happy to take questions, and if I, Kevin, you must help me with this, should we queue questions from our overseas audience?
Yeah, operator, if you could please queue questions along. We'll take 3 questions from the floor, yeah, and then we'll come back to the conference call, take 3 questions from there. So, okay, Jonathan.
Perhaps just Jonathan Kennedy here from Deutsche. Just very briefly, you talk about your technological advantage and looking at your guidance on CapEx offshore, it does appear as if the CapEx spend is very directed towards the South African business for obvious reasons. But would you consider acquiring or moving into the upstream more aggressively to roll out the expansion plans abroad outside of your Sasol Chevron JV? That's the first question. Then just secondly, do you have an estimate for us on the cost of carbon capture and storage in South Africa? And then I'll ask you the third question in a bit.
Sure, thanks, Jonathan. Jan, you can perhaps help me with the first one, but let me start. Yeah, ours is an organic growth strategy, largely, but it certainly doesn't rule out making acquisitions in the upstream sector. And this doesn't, the Sasol Chevron joint venture doesn't really come into play this, because we already have an upstream business which predated the joint venture. So yes, that is an option to us. Leon, would you like to comment further on that?
No, I think that this time of the fight, we are exploring such opportunities.
Great. I lost your second question. Apologies.
On the carbon capture and storage costs in South Africa.
No, I didn't really talk about it too much now, but this is a global problem. Carbon capture and storage is something that all coal users are wrestling with at the moment. So there's an enormous amount of effort that we're putting into it, but so are many other people too. Difficult to indicate that. We can give them a feeling for something like a 4 billion rand spend on environmental projects, which would include improving energy efficiency and so on in Sintfields over the next number of years, just to give you a flavor of it. But I can't give you an absolute figure in terms of the cost of this. Good. Please, colleagues, add in as you wish. Here we have one from Kelp next to Jonathan.
Kel Rasmussen from Avior Research. Pat, can you comment on how happy you are with the relationship with Chevron in Sasol Chevron, particularly in terms of their delivery or the partnership's delivery of new GTL projects? Just in that context, I saw on their website the last press announcement was 18 months ago.
Yeah, this is a difficult question. I'm going to ask Leon to answer. No, I'm joking. Overall, we're happy with the relationship with Chevron. We think they're a great company, absolutely. We have an enormous benefit from them on intellectual property matters, on helping develop the technology. They've helped us, we've helped them. They've helped us with the global reach. I mean, we can't call ourselves a global company if we're an international company, and a lot of expertise from strategy to HR, they've helped us enormously. And of course, the benefit that we've had out of that relationship is, first of all, a much greater position in EGTL, which is useful to us. We also have very good positions in the oil exploration sector in Nigeria because of that relationship. Frankly, as far as the rest of the world, it has been a little disappointing. We would have liked to see more opportunities brought our way through the Chevron partner. As you know, we're working in Australia. That's one where they are coming to the party on, but we would have liked to have seen more, and I think they probably agree with my comments. They would have liked to have brought more too. Leon, do you want to add to that? Good. There was Carolyn and Carol.
Carolyn Lermans from Macquarie First South. 3 questions. The first one is on the BEE transaction. Is there a particular reason why the non-South African businesses are included within that overall transaction? Then secondly, on costs, you've mentioned a number of times a strong focus on reducing costs. What specifically will you be doing on that point, and do you have targets as to cost reduction?
Yes.
And then thirdly, on project delivery, and perhaps going back to your slide where you talk about the 65 billion rounds of CapEx planned over the next 3 years, and then just bearing in mind what you've explained on natural or rather average delays in projects, do you factor that in those delays when you're talking about targets?
Yeah. Okay, I think I've got them all. And again, my colleagues, I think the one on DE is a fairly easy one to answer. Obviously, the deal has been done at TAFA Limited level, and TAFA Limited encompasses all our businesses, both local and offshore. Yes, we could have come up with some footwork that structured the deal differently, but we don't think that's appropriate. I think TAFA is a South African company. We have our roots here. We were born here. This technology was developed by South Africans. I think it's only appropriate that the whole of our population shares in the upside of TAFA, including the offshore part of Sasol. And obviously government, this has been discussed with government, and they're happy with this fact, and obviously because they like the deal, which I believe they do, this is a win-win situation for us. On costs, costs are always a challenge in a business like ours. Let's be honest, we've come to a period of high oil prices, so it's hard to keep the squeeze on costs. That we have, certainly we do have targets. There are targets in the performance contracts of all of these managers sitting here in the room today, right down to supervisor level. I don't particularly want to disclose overall targets for the company. Those are fairly difficult to do, but certainly we want to live within the inflation type figures in terms of cost increases. We want to be better than inflation cost increases into the future. We do have to be realistic, though. In the past, all the study money and feasibility study, pre-feasibility study, and the extra people associated with that, we would have capitalized into growth projects. Because of accounting standards, now we have to expense all of that. So that, I think we need to take that out of the equation, because we can't strangle the existing business because we have to spend money on costs to grow the company. So taking that out of it, we want to beat inflation. And we've got a bunch of programs in throughout the company to try and do just that. The last one on project delivery, looking around for Hannes. Hannes used to run traffic, but of course he's running ONS at the moment. And we do factor those in. And obviously, they weren't factored in a couple of years ago, but they're now factoring in. Those are being factored in now. We've also changed our whole estimating process so that we come up with more realistic estimates for our capital projects, and our board certainly asks us those questions before any capital is approved. Thanks, Karen.
Operator, could we take questions from the conference call, please?
Yes, sir. Our first question comes from Deepan Jalpa with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions, please. Just firstly, on Oryx Tutel, could you just give us a bit more detail in terms of what rates you're currently running at and what rate you hope to expect once you have both trains up and running? And I just wanted sort of clarity on, you mentioned a couple of smaller issues with Oryx, if you could give more details there. The second question I have was just on your earnings guidance for 2008. I just wanted to understand what assumptions you have put in for maintenance, particularly on the Synfuels business and on cost inflation. Thirdly, just you touched on sort of the potential for growth project internationally. I was just wondering if you could give us an update on perhaps your negotiations on in terms of a Chinese project, or where you think you're most advanced in terms of international expansion. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Peter. I'm going to ask Leon to start. If you can pick the first one and the third one, yeah? You could? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. There's another question on the Oryx GTL volume will come. When we made the quarterly announcement in May, I signaled to you that we're planning to run one train at a time at between 7 to 10,000 barrels a day. Now, up to now, we've continued running only one train at a time, but we have achieved production up to 12,000 barrels a day. As from October, we plan to run two trains in parallel. We will not always do that online all the time, so there will be intermediate periods where we'll be keeping running one train while we do some modifications and doing some test runs. But during the periods for which we run the trains together, we're looking at around 18,000 barrels a day. As far as the other question is concerned, and how we're making progress and which projects are progressing the fast, the one we make the most progress is in China. We started that some time ago, and as I've mentioned last time, we've signed those feasibility study. So when Premier Wynne Jabal was here last year, we're still in progressing those feasibility studies, and we are making progress. You know, as I explained last time, we have to do some of our negotiations up front, and we have to get those commercial enablers in place. But my team and Aaron's just came back over the weekend. We are still making good progress, and we're still very positive about the outcome of the Chinese projects.
Leon, if I could just build on the guidance you've given in terms of Oryx, the 18,000 barrels a day, that's not the permanent outcome. We are putting in new hardware as we go along, which will continue, and we continuously improving. So that is more in the near term. Longer term, better than that, but we've not disclosed any numbers on that just yet.
Yes, but I mean, the kit is still coming in as we've the filtration capacity during next year, and that will take us up to the design capacity.
Good. There was a question, and Jenny, between you and Christine, you can handle that.
On cost inflation, I think it is important when you look at Synfuel, the Synfuel cost, to look at two sides. If you look at your variable cost on the one side, and you see the increases, you'll notice that you actually, as a shareholder, pick up the benefits on the gas side as well as on the coal side. So whatever you lost in terms of costing the cost of your fixed stock, you pick it up on the other side. On the cash fixed cost side, I think it is important also to realize, and Ted mentioned the questions of the cost of study. Growth costs a bit of money, and so if you take out the growth, the growth initiative, the cost that comes as part of the growth initiative, you'll notice that we actually have been growing as Christine indicated, pretty much within inflation. Looking forward, we have two choices: to try to capture the growth by therefore spending a little bit of money, or not to do so. And I think it will be foolhardy not to do so. However, we have actually focused now more on the structural cost reduction in Synfuel. We put together a project, I think Pepe is right, we cannot mention all the details around it, which takes into account all the structural related kind of costs. Those have to do with the questions of the structure of the levels of management, all different portions, locations, duplications of stocking. Those things are more structural, and we're looking at them. It will take us a little bit of time. However, there's growth out there, and I think as investors, if we look at the choices we have to make, we have two choices during the year. To run the kit as hard as possible, given the fact that, as the chairman likes to say, it was raining, the margins were good, we have to run the kit as hard as we can. And in doing so, we have a little bit of higher costs. There is future, looking into the future, there's good margins out there, and therefore, the effort to try to capture those margins by putting in a little bit of more growth costs is more of a necessity. And structural costs are the key focus for the management in Synfuel.
Good. Thanks, Vinny. Thank you. Harold, finally, if you have your hand up there, you must be getting
so on. Hold on, Harold. I'll try the next question.
Sir, our next question comes from James Twyman with UBS. Please go ahead. Yes, hi there. I've got two questions. The first one is, could you give us an indication of what exploration costs are likely to be this coming year in SPI? I think you mentioned they'd be lower than this current year. And secondly, once you have the filtration equipment in place, do you think that you can reach the 34,000 barrels a day capacity? And will you be able to achieve that relatively soon after the filter equipment is in place?
Good, Leon. Is there a microphone for Leon? Thanks, James. Leon will answer.
Yes, we're planning to do about another 30 wells in the next financial year in Mozambique. I haven't got the exact cost for the exploration. You know, it's some of the final contract hasn't come in, but it would probably in the region be of half of what it was this year. Yes, we're very confident to solve all our technical problems at Oryx, and once we have got all the filtration kit in, it's our plan to ramp up your design capacity fairly quickly.
Thanks, Leon. Good. Now, I'm going to overrule now. Harold must have a chance, Kevin.
Thank you, Pat. Harold Engelbrecht, Citigroup. Three questions, if I may, and I'll fire them off one at a time, if that's okay. How do you see a successful startup of Turbo impact the inland market fundamentals in the next couple of years? And are you confident that there's sufficient distribution capacity to ensure that the inland area remains supplied of petrol and diesel?
Okay, well, if Penny and I, let's crack at that one, shall we? start up a turbo is not going to make more fuel available for the inland market. In fact, make less because of the shrinkage. So the problem, the impending problem on the shortage of supply, it needs to be addressed by simply running as fast and hard as it can, as well as matter. And of course, the logistics of getting supply in of fuel from the coastal regions. So we are giving this our very serious attention at the moment. Also, the logistics supply chain from Durban all the way into the region ourselves, and there are a couple of things that we're doing there. So, Benny, I don't know what you want to say in terms of how comfortable you feel about this. I think it's going to be reasonably tight, but that's got to make sure the country doesn't run dry.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's going to be very tight. As long as the economy grows at the speed that is growing, the demand for fuel keeps on growing. So almost all of us on the projections of how the volumes are going to look like have been slightly wrong. So, however, as a company, we have been looking at several options to try to mitigate that logistics challenge ahead.
Okay, and just secondly, can you give us a little bit of guidance on the Alpha 4 ONS now that it's back in the fold? A quick analysis of mine suggests that volumes and prices were quite flat in the last year, and yet with higher feedstock prices, margins were almost maintained. So you've taken a lot of costs out of the business. What are your plans now with the closures in Italy and the US? What are your targets? What can we expect of this business in the next couple of years?
Well, we're not going to be too precise on targets, so we can give you some directional comments, and Dr. Rainer Groh will do that, but I think we can say that closing of the plant has taken some of the overcapacity in the LAB business, particularly out of the equation, and that allowed us to be a little bit more aggressive in our pricing in certain areas. Rainer, would you like to build on that?
Thank you, Ben, and thanks for the question. After the announcement to retain ONS, basically the first phase was characterized by some early and fast decisions, the shutdown of the two plants as indicated by Ted and by Christine, but also the shutdown of the Bad Homburg head office. Those opportunities were already identified during the divestiture phase, and they were basically quick and slow hanging fruits. The second phase now is characterized by more homework, where we investigate all options that fall into the arena of a restructuring. It's obviously cost-cutting, and the observation is very right that costs were pretty much under control already, but we see further opportunities there as well. But it includes working capital, it includes variable cost, and it includes margin management. So this second phase is less visible, but there are a lot of actions, a lot of investigations taking in-house, and we expect that at the beginning of the next calendar year, we will go back to a more visible phase where you will see some of the actions, and we will then also make the appropriate announcement in terms of those. We are positive, and Pat has already indicated that we also see some first positive signs in the marketplace. We do believe that especially in the LAB business, we may have reached the bottom of the cycle, and we are investigating and those opportunities going forward.
Good. Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Lastly,
you've given us interesting guidance with regards to possible and probable projects. I don't know if you would care to give us a little bit of an indication of the Chinese and US and CTL and Mafuta as well. I mean, where do these fit in with regards to being possible and probable projects?
Helen, can you help me here? I think these are probably classified as possible projects at this point in time. I don't think they've made the hurdle into probable. But I stand to be corrected on that categorization.
But I have it the same way.
You have it the same way?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's good. And Project Mafuta, it doesn't even make that category. That's not even in the numbers yet. You need to point that out too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the floor here?
Peter Armitage from Investec. The earnings guidance of maintaining earnings, does that pertain to headline earnings per share, attributable earnings, against what base? Just to clarify.
Yeah, the earnings guidance pertains to attributable earnings. So we expect our attributable earnings for 08 to be in line with that of 2007.
And then just one final question. The economics and returns in Maputo, there's been a lot of commentary and different views on the feasibility. Is there anything you can add at this stage? I mean, obviously it's years out, but do you feel that there's a economically viable and attractive project? What's required to make it so?
Sustained oil price is one of the key factors to making it work into the future. And based on relatively conservative assumptions around oil, we believe there's a project there. It doesn't require extraordinary things. It does, of course, require the kind of investment framework that not only this industry, but other industries require, and not only that South Africa provides, but other countries provide. So it will require the right sort of tax incentives, the right sort of infrastructure, and that type of thing. But if the oil price holds out, it looks like a very good project for us. Very large, and we're a long way from making any calls on it yet, but it looks good so far. Good. You have questions from the operator?
Operator, could take three more questions, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Comer with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a few questions. Firstly, just to confirm on Oryx, you're saying that you think you can ramp up to 34,000 barrels pretty quickly after the additional filtration equipment comes in. I'm just wondering whether you could quantify any additional cost on a per barrel basis of that additional filtration equipment. That's more on an operating cost basis. Secondly, in your 20F, you comment that you'll make a decision on a feasibility study on the coal liquid plant in the US in the first half of 2007. That's now over, so I wonder where we are on that. Also, just on the project in Nigeria, we've got very, very significant increases in CapEx globally, and I just wonder, you know, if you could maybe enlighten us as to why you don't think that is going to impact the returns on that project. And also, just with Maputo, some quite significant increases implied in the CapEx cost of building in South Africa. And I wonder if you'd like to hazard a guess on what the cost per barrel might be for Maputo in CapEx terms.
Good. Let's see if we can tackle those. Leon, let's give Leon a microphone to deal with the Oryx operating cost specifically.
If I understand the question correctly, will there be additional operating costs running the additional filtration capacity? No, if there any, will be very marginal. We don't foresee additional costs. The US study are still in a pre-feasibility stage. We're still doing some internal homework on that. What was the EGTL question?
The EGTL was, if CapEx has gone up globally, then why do our economic returns look more or less the same?
Well, it goes for the higher oil prices that make this project very robust at this stage. So far, we've had capital increase in EGTL, but we could have, through good cost management and hard work with our contractors, we've maintained the increases relatively low. And for the higher oil prices, we're still very robust on the EGTL economics.
Yeah. To build on that last one, I mean, we haven't disclosed any new capital costs for EGTL. We haven't, we're having a look at the estimate for that project at the moment, so we may have some news. But the last increase was a couple of percent only, and we're sticking to our disclosed figure at this point in time. What was the last question? Yeah, that's right. The question. No, I don't think Benny, we can really hazard a guess on costs a barrel installed there at this stage. We've not disclosed anything because we simply don't know the answer. We obviously have some numbers on China and other parts of the world, but those have to be transposed to the South African situation, and that's work that we haven't done yet. As soon as we get a little more comfortable with our own numbers, then we'll be happy to disclose those, but not just yet.
Okay, thanks.
Operator, next question.
Yes, our next question comes from Mark McCarthy with Barry Stearns. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I have a few questions as well. Hopefully they'll be easy. First of all, as it relates to the scheme of arrangement, you mentioned the intention to repurchase about 63 million shares. You have 15 million shares in treasury already. And then you mentioned that should it be difficult, you'll consider a share repurchase by way of scheme of arrangement. Can you explain how that would work and the time frame for making that decision? That's the first question. The second question is, I think someone asked this question, of the 65 billion rand that is hypothesized as being spent, as you mentioned, only $10 billion of which has actually been approved. How much is in China CPL? I think you mentioned that, well, you show a chart here that it's actually a small portion of the overall, the red, is actually international energy, which I suppose relates to China CPL. So it seems like it's a very low number. Trying to get that confirmed. The third question has to do with Escravos. There was some suggestion within the contracting community that the contract, your EPC contract, had been modified in such a way that it was more along the lines of a cost-plus structure. Can you comment on anything related to that and the current budget? I haven't seen the analyst book now for the targeted budget for that, but I do see that you've pushed it out, I guess, about 6 months, the startup. And then the last question relates to actual spending for 2008. It seems that, according to the same chart, only about half of your half of next year's 16 billion rand of spending has actually been approved. So what is the budget for next year? And as it relates, given that your this entire BEE transaction, while I personally think is tremendous, is a great idea, does not actually still answer the question really about how you're going to return what appears to be a growing level of excess capital within the base. So has there been any other thoughts as it relates to the reducing net debt to capital balance, which I think end of the year at about 22%? And what is your intentions for dividends or share buybacks, separate and distinct from this transaction, going forward? So I guess that's five questions in total.
Yeah, I guess...
Sorry to be the last one.
No problem. Let's go through them quickly, shall we? Leon, do you want to pick up the first one there? Let me just see where... Oh, no, the scheme of arrangement is Reynold. He's already to talk to that one. Let's keep it fairly short, though. I'm afraid I'm starting to run out of time.
Now, one of our objectives is not to dilute our shareholders with the BE deal. So we've got some treasury stock. We will consider buying further shares if it's at economical prices or at reasonable prices. And then coming next year early, we will see what will give us the best effect, to dilute a bit or to go for the scheme of arrangement. We haven't made up our minds, and we'll make up our minds early next year.
Mark, is that okay, or do you want more detail on what a scheme of arrangement is in a South African context, or is that clear to you?
Yeah, that's actually clear. Are you going to be putting out an offer to all shareholders? Is that what it's
effect? Yeah, if we did a scheme of arrangements to make up for the balance of shares we can't purchase for whatever reason that we require, then one of the options is to put out a scheme of arrangements and offer to existing shareholders.
Okay.
That's not our first preference, but that's one of the options.
Well, what is the time frame for making these decisions? It seems that the end of the year is you have some of the approvals, but...
Yeah, it'll be say first quarter is next year, Mark.
First calendar quarter.
Yeah, calendar quarter, correct, yeah. Round it out there. Good. We need to move fairly quickly to the other questions. Leon, the CTL China?
Oh, was there a CTL China question?
Yeah. How much money has been provided in that $65 billion for CTL China? Well, I think the answer is fairly clear. That's 3 years away. Yeah. We're not going to spend serious money on CTL in China. So, yes, you're accurate. The international energy red portion on that slide does include CTL China, but the amounts are not that significant. As far as EGTL is concerned, I think I just mentioned earlier, or Leon mentioned, I can't remember now, but that we don't have a new budget for the capital cost of that. Whatever we put in the public domain, I think we are in debt insight, is a figure that's still valid today. But obviously we continuously re-look at this, and we continue to look at that. There was some talk, Leon, could I just keep rolling, you help me if I get it wrong? But certainly the nature of the contract with our contract is... not ours, the Chevron's contractor on EGTL has changed. They've moved from a lump sum to a reimbursable contract, and that's pretty much in line with what's happening in the big wide world of E&C out there. So we're not particularly concerned about that, and it hasn't interrupted the work goes on. Leon, you happy with that?
Yes.
The spend in 2008, just remind me, Mark, on that question, or can you 15?
Yes, the
You have $16 billion of hypothetical spending, about half of that approved.
Oh, yeah, well, I think there's a difference between what's approved and what is cash flow is the answer there. We believe our cash flow to be $16
billion. $16 billion is what's in the budget for 2008.
Yeah, and so, Mark, it won't be approved projects. It'll be projects that are approved in the execution phase. Obviously, the cash flow carries on into the new financial year. There will be a couple of projects that are approved and cash will flow in the financial year, but not too many of those. But perhaps, Kevin, offline, can we just make sure Mark's got the right numbers there? And then, yeah, how the restructuring of the balance sheet, Christine, you want to very briefly deal with that? Our gearing and how that's going to change over the next couple of years?
Yes. As I said in the presentation, that we do expect with the BEE transactions and our growth plans to move within the target gearing range of 30 to 50%, as we said, in the short term.
Yes.
As regards, the question was also regards how will this affect our dividends going forward. We do expect to maintain our dividend policy of 2.5 to 3.5 times, and it's important to note that any transactions that we do will not affect our growth strategy going forward.
Yeah. So short answer, Mark, we're going to get back within the gearing range pretty quickly, and we're going to maintain our dividend policy. Good. Other questions, Kevin?
We'll take one very brief question from the conference call, then I think it was wrap up.
No, that's all quiet. Good. Can we take one here?
Okay. It's Catherine from Merrill Lynch. I just want to know, in terms of volume recovery in next year and for your energy business, so Synfuel and liquid fuels business, following obviously this year's maintenance shut and the impact that it had on volumes,
yeah.
What sort of expectations can we build in, as well as imports of fuel?
Okay. Good question. Between Christine, Benny, do you want to answer the volumes growth in Synfuels?
Expectations, if you look at year on year, because we had a shutdown and this year we'll only have one shutdown, it will be a phased shutdown, so the volumes will be slightly or far much better than what you had last year. I think that's the first one. And the second one is, we also in liquid fuels had a shutdown in Natref, and some people don't take that into account. And we did a particular impact. It came right at the tail end of the financial year and it impacted the bottom line, and I think you're the one who seems to have caught it, that actually the last month of the year we had that shutdown, and that is a particular impact. So volume-wise, we expect it to be better than it was in the last financial year.
Can I just ask, have you disclosed in the analyst book what the volume growth in Central is?
No.
But it's quite reasonable. It'll be something you'll be quite pleased with, what we're planning to achieve anyway. Good. And in terms of imports, Benny, it's true to say that our imports are expected to be lower than last year.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think probably if some of you want to go and visit the nearest pub and have a drink on this fine spring day, so we're not to keep you further. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you so much for your interest, and we look forward to having more questions from you in the next couple of days. Okay.